Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Connor Newt here with you. Things are not going well for the Denison Big Red. Willie Donick in Ohio watching his son Mahoney in the D3 championship opening round in baseball. Denison down 4-1 in the top of the ninth. Denison has won 44 consecutive games. So let's see if the Big Red can turn it around for our friend Willie Donick. But in the meantime, let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in veteran Titans reporter Terry McCormick, who was live at Titans OTA practice today. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We are well. Thank you so much for joining us. So, Terry, you were there. Give us your key takeaways from today's open practice. What stood out to you?
Well, I think the thing that stood out most to me was the thing that stood out to a lot of other people there, that Carnell Tate looks the part. He made two really good catches today. I think the one-handed grab that you've been seeing that the Titans put out, that you've been seeing kind of make the rounds on social media in the last couple of hours, happened right in front of me. And I turned to one of the other reporters there. We were both like, oh, my gosh, that's just crazy. Now, I know it's OTAs. The pads haven't gone on. And, you know, there's always a rush to anoint some guy when he does well early on. But Carnell Tate looks the part so far. And I think that if you're a Titans fan, that has to be good news for you.
You led me into my next question, Terry, because you have been at this a long time. So you know you can be suckered in by how someone does in practice. As you mentioned, Carnell Tate showed out in his first open OTA, and it sounds like he did so once again today. In the early going, how does Carnell Tate compare to other young receivers you have covered in your time here on the beat?
I think he looks different. And I'm going to use a couple of other guys at different positions to kind of point this out. There are certain guys that just look different when they're out there on the field, and you can tell that they have a chance to be special. Javon Kearse looked that way. Chris Johnson looked that way. Carnell Tate is showing flashes of looking different like that. Like he could be something that, you know, could turn into something special if he's coached the right way and develops the right way and the team around him improves in the right way. But like I said, it's still very early. There was a time, one training camp, where everybody was just up in arms over the way that Justin Hunter was dominating in training camp on the practice field. Well, come to find out, it wasn't that Justin Hunter was dominating on the practice field. It was that the Titans wound up with the worst secondary in the league that year, and we were seeing Justin Hunter, who was just an average guy who occasionally would flash big, make plays against the secondary that needed a lot of work.
The other receiver, Terry, I'm wondering about is Alec Iamanner. With the additions of Tate and Wandale Robinson, plus you have the return of a healthy Calvin Ridley, how much is Iamanner at risk of losing targets, and what can he do to prevent that?
Well, I think he kind of is in danger of losing some targets because they have, you know, at least on paper, upgraded with Tate, Robinson in the slot. If Calvin Ridley can come back and give you something, you know, then he would be ticketed to be the other starter. And then there's still Chim Dike, you know, his fellow rookie from last year that is in the mix as well. But Iamanner's a guy that, I mean, he got a lot of run last year as their number one or number two guy, he and Dike, because they were all they had by the end of the year with Ridley out and, you know, not a lot else in the cupboard. They got a lot of run last year as fourth-round rookies, maybe more so than they would on most teams. And I think that, you know, it's not the worst thing for him to slot in as a third, fourth, or fifth guy. you know, because he does have experience, you know a little bit of what he can do. And, you know, if he slots in as your fourth or fifth guy, then you got to feel pretty good about where the wide receiver room is heading.
We've gotten this far into the conversation, Terry, without asking you about Cam Ward. What was your evaluation of Ward today, as well as in the first OTA that you saw?
I thought he was a lot sharper in the first OTA that I saw. None of the quarterbacks had a particularly impressive day today, I didn't think. I mean, there were a few good throws here and there. You know, there was, you know, you saw the throw that Ward made on the one-handed catch by Tate, and then on the other catch that Tate had, where he also went up over a defensive back in the two-minute drill. Cam put the ball at the only place where his receiver could get it. But, you know, there were some misfires here and there. The one thing that I like about Cam, you know, and I think that this is the thing that is kind of different from him and the way it was in 2024 with what happened with Will Levis, is that, yes, you know, Cam was kind of prone to fumbles. But when the ball goes in the air, it doesn't seem like Cam puts the ball in harm's way very often. And, you know, maybe some of that is, you know, a lot of that is by design, because they don't want him to take the big risk and things like that. But to me, that's one of his best attributes, is that he does not put the ball in harm's way a lot. And I think that, you know, overall in these OTAs, you're starting to see him get comfortable with Tate. You're starting to see him get comfortable with Robinson. Still a work in progress as the offense kind of gears up and gets going. But I think he had what I would call an average day today, after having last week when we saw him, I would say probably a B-plus to A-minus day.
We'll talk with Terry McCormick, Main Street Media, and TitansInsider.com. Now, Terry, let's go back to Alec, because I think you're right in the sense of, you look at the three guys ahead of him, which means he ultimately is going to lose more targets. But if you're thinking about it, wouldn't he be the most important person for this reason? Because of Calvin Ridley and his, you know, inability to stay healthy throughout a season. So if indeed he does go down, Alec, to me, has proven more than, say, a DK at that position, that I would want to trust him out there over DK at this particular time, because then you can shift, you know, guys over. If you need to shift Tate over to the Z, you can shift Tate to the Z and put Alec at the X where he feels more comfortable. But wouldn't he be a guy that the Titans are thinking about, hey, we got to make sure this guy understands and knows what he's doing?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, for lack of a better term, he maybe has become your new Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, as a guy who is kind of your utility guy, your super sub, your guy that you know that maybe he's not getting the reps or he's not getting the targets that some of these other guys are getting, but when you put him out there, you know he can get the job done. So, yeah, I think that's a very important point that you make, and I think that it's going to be a big camp for both Iron Manor and DK to see how they develop, especially with more competition in the room and right now ahead of them on the depth chart.
Now, we've heard about Salah's defense, and in particular how they love to rotate those defensive linemen. How has things looked for them? I'm just talking about from a speed and communication standpoint out there for the defense.
Looks pretty good. I mean, not all the pieces are out there. Jeffrey Simmons has not been out there. We've not seen Jermaine Johnson or John Franklin Myers. A lot of these guys we've not seen yet. They'll be in, I'm assuming, for the mandatory minicamp. But, you know, it's really been several of the same guys from last year with one or two new faces. Solomon Thomas has been in. In fact, he had an interception today on a play similar to how Will Levis was picked in Miami. In that game right before he hurt his shoulder, Levis threw a ball kind of underneath on a screen, and Thomas kind of slipped in and jumped the route. Now, I think the play may have been called back because of an offside penalty, but still a nice athletic play from him as one of those rotational guys. The one thing that Salah talked about when asked about the defensive line in terms of how he wants to go, he wants to have eight or nine guys dressed on game day. He wants to rotate those guys through 3 to 4 plays max, and then he wants to make sure that on third downs he's got a fresh Jeffrey Simmons, or he's got, you know, and the rest of those guys that he designates as his best pass rushers ready to go chase the quarterback, feeling like that some of the other guys on the unit can be more of the run-stopping guys who do the grunt work on first and second down so that he can keep Jeffrey Simmons fresh and playing fewer snaps but more important snaps.
Now, we had a conversation last week right around this time about, you know, how vital it was going to be for the Tennessee Titans. Not necessarily that they need to be in the Super Bowl. It would be great. But how vital, how critical it will be for this team to be fielding a playoff caliber team. That's true. But do you think it needs to be even before that?
Well, I think that by the time you move into the new stadium, you need to have a good product. I think this year to me is kind of a transitional year with a new head coach, new offensive staff, you know, you're pretty much new across the board with a lot of free agents, some draft picks that you're counting on, and some young guys that have been here the last couple of years, like Cam Ward, like Jim DK, like Alec Isle Manor, that you're counting on building on what they did last year. I think, to me, 2026 is a transitional year where you want to get everybody on the same page, everybody rolling in the same direction, and you want to see the overall talent level and performance level of this team take a jump so that you're not a bottom feeder anymore like you have been for the last couple of years. You want to see this team be able to, if not get in the conversation for a playoff spot this year, you want them to at least be competitive so that, you know, it's not 17-3 before people, you know, make their first trip to the concession stand. And so I think that's important for this team this year, with an eye that if they can stack one more offseason, that this team could be maybe a contender in 2027 when they head into the new stadium.
Now, I know they dealt with a lot of injuries last year on the defensive side of the ball, in particular with their secondary. And I know Denard Wilson did all he could to patch that thing together and make it as good of a defense, a secondary, as it could be at that particular time under those circumstances. But how much better do you think this secondary is going to be, say, from the secondary 2 years ago when they were healthy? Because then the defense was healthy, and that was probably the only bright spot of the team.
Yeah, I think it's going to hinge on a couple things. One, if the pass rush is there and it's there consistently without blitzing, then I think you'll see this secondary take a step forward. I think you'll see a little bit of – you remember how dominant it was when Albert Haynesworth and Kyle VandenBosch were wreaking havoc back in like 2006, 2007, those years there, and how the defense carried this team, in fact, into the playoffs a couple of years there. And I think that – that group, if they can get close to that level, it's going to make the secondary's job a lot easier. Now, the other thing with the secondary, I like what they've done in terms of bringing in starters. You know, they still have Amani Hooker. They're counting on Kevin Winston to be another safety. And then they've got a young guy in Marcus Harris at nickel. They went out and got free agents in Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott to play cornerback. But to me, the real question, and injuries are inevitable, the real question is who's filling in those spots if somebody goes down and misses two or three or four games? Do you have enough depth to sustain yourself and be able to get through that if you have injuries in the secondary? And right now, I'm not sure that they can say they do.
Now, do you think it would, going to Cam Ward, back to Cam Ward, do you think it would be wise, because under this Daboll offense, we've seen the quarterbacks each and every – they've developed. Even Jackson Dart to a point, you know, but he opened himself to concussions. And that sort of stunted him for that year because he was on and off the field. But the way that they used, you know, Josh Allen and Jackson Dart and Daniel Jones, that running element, do you think they're going to use Cam in that same way? I know Cam lost some weight, but Cam to me isn't those type guys. Can he run? Yes, but I don't think he's, you know, Josh Allen by no means, as an all-around quarterback. Definitely not a runner, but he's nor is he Jackson Dart or Daniel Jones.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think Cam is not going to run to run. Cam is going to run only as a last resort, and when he's moving in the pocket, he's looking to find a throwing lane to get the ball out of his hands and get it to somebody else down the field. I think, you know, I think that's more his game rather than, you know, just running him in RPOs or, you know, like, or doing like Josh Allen and just taking off. Because you're right, there's a big, big difference in physical size. He's not 6'4 and 240 pounds that can take a pounding, nor should you want him to. I think Cam is going to buy time in the pocket, but it's going to be to throw the football and get his receivers involved. I think running only comes to him as a last resort, in my opinion.
Terry, before we let you go, I'm fascinated by the online discourse about Tony Pollard, because Tony Pollard has been a 1,000-yard rusher in each of the past four seasons. I know that threshold maybe not, it's not as impressive as it once was, but it's still an impressive feat, four consecutive years rushing for at least 1,000 yards. There was the public flirtation throughout the draft process with Jeremiah Love, and I feel like there are Titans fans out there who might be disappointed that Tony Pollard is still leading this running back group entering this season. Do you feel like Tony Pollard is underappreciated in this offense?
Somewhat. I'll give you an old school analogy here, Adam. You know, when Mickey Mantle retired as the center fielder for the Yankees back in the late 60s, they tried and tried and tried to find guys to be the next Mickey Mantle. Well, there's no next Mickey Mantle. Just like there's no next Derrick Henry. The next guy in is going to have a hard time living up to Derrick Henry's billing. Tony Pollard is just fine as a running back, but he's not a superstar like Derrick Henry. He's a serviceable back who can handle the bulk of the workload. You know, you give a few carries here to Tajay Spears. You give a few carries to the rookie Nick Singleton. Tony Pollard heads up that group. He's not a superstar, but he's definitely serviceable.
Terry McCormick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. You can read his work at Main Street Media as well as TitanInsider.com. Terry, thanks so much for your time. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
615-737-1025. Let's stay on the wide receivers, because the Titans wide receivers were part of an interesting story I read today on ESPN.com. So we'll keep it on the receivers coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.